Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us.
This morning we're joined by Jane from Edinburgh, who takes LDN for ovarian cancer. Thank you for joining us, Jane.
Yes, good morning, Linda.
Could you tell us when you first discovered there was something wrong with you that led to the diagnosis?
Yes, it was very quick. I suddenly swelled up and my tummy swelled up, and I looked about 9 months pregnant in the space of about 10 days. And when I was finally admitted to hospital, I was sent home initially by a rather arrogant young man who insisted I had a bad diet and there was nothing wrong with me except constipation. But I was readmitted the following week, and they took 13 litres of fluid from my stomach, and then after scans discovered I had ovarian cancer.
It's a lot of fluid, isn't it?
Yes, it was. It was a lot of fluid. It was extremely uncomfortable.
Mm.
And then it was about another 6 weeks before they started chemotherapy, which I hated. Had a very bad reaction to the initial dosages, and they had to withdraw one of the chemotherapy drugs because of that. I then continued on a lower dose of one of the drugs only for 3 months. And by that time, the tumours had shrunk sufficiently for them to do fairly major surgery in May last year. Mm. After the surgery, I made a very good recovery. They felt they'd got everything. And I had another further two doses of chemotherapy, finishing in July last year. I then started taking LDN about 3 weeks after I'd finished the chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously starting on a very low dose, the 0.5 mil to start with, and working up. And I now take 4.5 mils daily.
Mm-hmm. And how has the LDN made you feel, Jane?
I think initially I took it at night, and I did have a few disturbed nights. So I rang the person who supplies it to me, the doctor in Glasgow, and he advised taking it in the morning and said there was really no difference.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since taking it in the morning, I've had no effects, no bad effects at all.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any positive effects?
Well, I'm hoping so. For ovarian cancer, they do a blood test called a CA125. Now, this is, the normal range is below 35. When I was diagnosed, mine was nearly 4,000.
Oh.
And after treatment, it went down to about 11. Now, in October, it had gone up a little bit to 19. And then at Christmas, I received the rather disturbing news that it was up at 65, and then the following week, 70. Now, the oncologist firmly believed that the upward trend would continue. However, I had a further test in April, and it had actually reduced by 20%.
Mm.
So I don't know what it is at the moment. I'm hoping the downward trend will continue, but I'm very optimistic that this might be due to the LDN.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the doctor, well, I say obviously, but until they have scientific proof, the consultants tend to be a little sceptical about LDN, but I believe in it very firmly, and I'm really looking forward to the article coming out so there is more evidence for me to take along to my
yes.
next appointment.
Mm-hmm.
They were certainly, my oncologist was certainly very surprised that it had reduced by 20%.
Oh.
That just wasn't, it was most unusual.
Well, since he thought it was going to keep increasing, even to have had it stabilised would have been good news, but to have it
yes,
reduced
it would.
By 20%, yes, is
Yes.
It's quite phenomenal, isn't it?
It's really very positive, and I'll have it tested again. And they do it about every 3 months. I don't want to do it all the time because you can get too hung up on these things. It's like going on a diet, losing 1 pound, putting two on. But I'm a firm believer in it. I first heard about it about 4 years ago from a friend whose daughter takes it for MS. And she happened to mention at that time that she'd heard it also was very good for cancer. And I had indeed recommended it or mentioned it to a few other people. But unfortunately, there isn't, or certainly at that time, there wasn't a lot of information. And a lot of people are very conservative and really don't go against anything that they're, if it's not suggested or recommended by their doctor, they're not interested.
Yes.
I come from a medical family and I ask questions about everything. Anyway, it was thanks to this friend, otherwise I would probably never have heard about it. So I'm extremely grateful.
And we know that by boosting your endorphins, it's your body's own natural feel-good factor. Would you say that it's improved your mood, taking LDN, or are you...
Yes, I've certainly, again, the almost to an amusing extent, my oncologist kept saying to me, now, it's very common for you to be depressed. And I was saying, well, yes, okay, but I'm not. And I haven't been at all. I mean, naturally, I'm sad, and I sometimes get cross with this disease because it's a particularly unpleasant one and a silent one. But I talk about it because I want other people to be aware that there are other things you can do, you know. And when you're sitting there having your chemotherapy, I find most people are just say, well, this is like my second home now. And I say, well, there are other things out there. And I do find the majority of people are closed. They're quite interested to know how I'm getting on, but they're actually not prepared to try anything else themselves.
Oh, that's sad.
Yes, it is. And I do feel it's because it's not yet recognised by the medical profession at large. And I do hope that this new evidence that's coming out is going to help to change that.
I certainly hope so. And thank you very much for sharing your story with us, Jane. It would be good to do a follow-up maybe next year and see how you're getting on.
Yes, that would be lovely.
I'd like to introduce Paula from England, who takes LDN for breast cancer. Thank you for joining me, Paula.
Hi, no problem.
Could you tell us when you were diagnosed with breast cancer?
In 2010.
Okay, would you like to tell us what happened?
Yeah, I found a small lump on my right breast, and I just went to the GP, who said he thought it was nothing, but just to send me to consult and just to check. I had the mammogram, it turns out that breast was absolutely fine, but they picked up a slow-growing grade 1 on the left one. So, yeah, that was kind of a bit of a shock. So I went through the usual sort of treatments, which was lumpectomy, then radiation, tamoxifen, and kind of got on with it, really. But then 2 years later, just on a routine, like a routine examination, they found that it reoccurred in the same breast, so... That was, kind of a bit of a shock because I'd kind of put it at the back of my mind after the 2 years, kind of got on with things, which I suppose you're supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But, it came back. This is the second time. The reoccurrence was probably worse than the first diagnosis, I'd say. When I went to sort of get the results properly, I was on my own, so I kind of thought it would be all right. And then they said, oh, well, what you have to do is either another lumpectomy or mastectomy. And it was just hearing that word, mastectomy, that made me kind of like really kind of lose my breath for a moment. So that was pretty hard, really, because they kept saying, well, you've got the best kind of cancer. It's the grade one, slow growing. Your prognosis is great. Kind of go away and have your life kind of thing. So, yeah, I think the reoccurrence was probably worse than the first time.
How old are you, Paula?
I'm 49 now. I've had it for 5 years. Yeah, nearly six.
Okay. So what happened after that?
I had a mastectomy and then a reconstruction. And prior to the reconstruction, they did a scan just on sort of your chest area. And then after the reconstruction, they do another one. Again, they all seem to be in these horrible hospital rooms and get this, like, shock from nowhere. And they just said, oh, we think you've got stage three. And the consultant sort of looking on his screen like, oh, I've seen something. And it was kind of news to him and it was news to me. So we were both sort of recoiling in horror together. So he said, oh, right, there's something in your sternum, I think, so you'll have to have a PET scan. So we explained what that was. So, again, I just seem to be getting bus journeys. And it must be this woman walking around Manchester who's stunned. If you ever see a woman walking around Manchester, or anyone who's got, like, a stunned look, I kind of think, oh, right, okay, you've just had a cancer diagnosis. You've got a look. Yeah, so that was that one. What did I do then? PET scan. The PET scan I had, and then I went back for the results for that. And I think I took my partner this time because I was thinking, right, okay, let's go in with somebody else. And they said they'd found something in the spine. They thought it was two tumours, one at the top and one at the bottom. So they said, you know, radiation, and, you know, that was kind of the next step, and it was stage four. So, I seem to be going through the stages, you know, like some sort of game show, some horrid game show. It does seem to be like I was on some sort of ghost train, some cancer ghost train, where everything seemed to be okay, and then I'd be turn a corner and sort of like get the... It just seems to be one horrific thing after another. You can recover, and then I don't know. It's just a really, really strange, surreal situation to be in. So I'm through all that. I've had me radiation on the... It's in C3, which is in the neck. They can't biopsy it because of where it is. So they said it's 97% cancer, but they probably won't know. So we kind of have to treat it as it is. So I had letrozole after that, which has sort of pushed me into the menopause. And that's it, really. I think getting the stage four diagnosis, I just sort of went on a tailspin, really. And then when I went back for a routine appointment, and I just said, well, how long do you think I've got? Which I shouldn't have asked. I was getting a car loan, and I was wondering how many years. I was thinking about, well, should I pay it off before I die? So I said, I'm thinking of getting a car loan for about 2-3 years, you know, and I don't know if... And he said, well, you should live for another 40 years. So I said, oh, cool. He said, but, no, not if you've got cancer, not the cancer you've got.
Oh.
So again, I was on my own. And then just, I kept myself together, actually, and till I kind of got home and then thought, what am I going to, how am I going to tell people? How am I going to tell my partner who sat opposite me having my tea? How do I tell my family? So I just kept to myself for a bit. And then I joined a Facebook group, which was to do with cancer, and it was mostly women from America. Mm-hmm. And they used to always put stuff up there. So I put it up there because I thought, well, I'll tell some strangers before I tell my family and just see how that sounds. And my Facebook page just lit up like a firework display of comments that people were like, you know, don't worry, you'll be okay, and all this, and it was lovely. Oh. It was really lovely. And one particular post, I think it saved your sanity. I mean, it's bonkers, but this man, or never me, in America, just put up, cancer can't live in an alkaline body, and make your own spelt bread. And I think that was the first time I'd realised that I didn't think that nutrition had any bearing on a cancer diagnosis. So that was probably something that a light bulb went off, and that ended me up where I am now, taking a drug that I think is really good. And I got round to that. I got onto the LDN because of, like, this particular Facebook post made me think, right, I stayed up that night till about 2 a.m. reading on the internet about nutrition and cancer, and it led me on to reading a book called The Rainbow Diet by Chris Willems. Read that and thought, hang on a minute, there's more to this than radiation and a death sentence. So I just then went on Chris Willems' website, which is called Cancer Active, and I really wish I'd have been on it before. Because before, I think I've been quite an obedient patient and just did what I was told. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to the doctors, but I suppose I did give over my health to somebody else. And I've come to think that it's my health and it's me who's getting myself better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that led me to his website, which then led me to Yes for Life website, gave them a ring, and they put me in touch with a lady called Patricia Pete, who runs Cancer Options. Mm-hmm. So I gave her a ring, and then everything just changed from there. That's when she said, have you heard of LDN? And I said, no, don't know what it is. And she said, oh, I think I don't always particularly like to describe another drug. It's nutrition or a different therapy or, you know, but she said, I just think you'll work really well on it. So, yeah, it kind of went from there.
Okay, so how did you manage to get a prescription for LDN? Was that easy?
It was really easy. I live in the UK, which you can't prescribe it for, but Patricia Pete sent me this report all about kind of my health and what I should do, and she gave me a contact number of a GP in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a pharmacy in Scotland. So I rang them. They advised I speak to my doctor and my oncologist, my GP and the oncologist, and say this is what I'm planning to do. She said, you don't have to, but you know, do. So I told my GP, and he's kind of, I took the report with me, and he's a really good GP. You know, he's been excellent, but didn't really, I thought he'd kind of go, oh wow, you know, this is brilliant, but it was like, well, whatever you want to do it. I told my oncologist, and they just said, well, there's always a lot of people trying to get money out of cancer patients, and you're probably best off having a spa break.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, do you know how much it costs? I said, it's £18 a month, you know. I said, it's, you know, people probably spend more than that in Starbucks. But she didn't, I know they're all, you know, they can't get involved. So I just thought, well, never mind. You know, my battle isn't here with you. My battle is getting myself well. So I did what I had to do, and then thought, right, okay, you just crack on. So I rang the GP in Scotland. He gave me a consultation over the telephone. That cost me £10. And I filled in a form for this. I had to get like a letter from my oncologist saying I have got what I've got, which they did, and that was that. And it landed on the doorstep about 2 weeks later, and continues to drop through my letterbox every month.
So when you first started, did you notice any side effects?
No, nothing. No, well, good things, I suppose. I'm not the letrozole. According to Patricia Pete, has caused inflammation, which I didn't know that, which I'm not particularly happy with, but I'll see where I go with the future. But and that it kind of made you feel really stiff, especially in the mornings, and you sort of feel older than you actually are. So that has changed. I mean, it's still there a little bit, but it's not as bad. I've been on it since May, and I did the doses where you start off low, and I'm on 4.5 now every day. I take it in the morning, and I didn't see any immediate effects with my mood. She said I'd feel amazing, and so I waited for myself to feel amazing. I was still crying at a drop of a hat if someone mentioned something, and I was still a bit ratty with my partner. But I do feel like I'm getting stronger emotionally. I'd say, like now, having this conversation now, if someone's told me, you know, start from the beginning, I'd be in bits, I'd be crying, but I haven't, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm getting, that's an improvement.
Oh, that's very good, yes. And we have many members that take LDN in the morning and they have really good results. Yes, it doesn't, even though I take mine at night, and, you know, years ago everyone used to take it at night, there are so many people that do take it in the morning and have good results, and many doctors actually tell their patients to take it in the morning. So I wouldn't worry about the fact that you're taking it in the morning. Yeah. So have you had any checkups on your cancer since you've been on LDN?
I've been on since May, so I've had one round of the. I keep having to have a scan, a CT scan for all the organs, and then once the spine. MRI. From hell, but I got used to that as well. It's stable, it's not going anywhere else. It's not, they just say it's not getting any bigger. But I'm kind of looking to the future, and I'm looking to eventually, well, even if it stays as it is, I'm happy. But I'd love to sort of see it disappear. I don't know if I'm being a bit optimistic. Yeah. But, you know, I listen, you know, I'm on the Facebook page of the people who LDN, and, you know, I can see the results in MS. And so, you know, I just kind of get on with it, really. I feel quite like a little renegade, really. When if I do tell people I get this drug from Scotland, because they look at me as if I'm a bit bonkers.
Yeah, I know.
You mean what? You're getting it from where? So yeah, I'm quite proud of myself, really, that you know, I'm nowhere near where I'm still on this journey of discovery, and I'm determined to maybe go down more of the alternative route and continue reducing all the other things that I do. I'm no saint by any means, but I have changed a lot about my lifestyle and my diet, and I have a job. I work full time. It's a job I love. I look normal. I was about from wonky breasts and the rest of it.
That's amazing. And maybe we can do a follow up with you next year. That would be really good to see how you're getting on.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. I used to have every 3 months, but I've just told them every 4, and then now I've told them every 5, because I'm not too keen on being scanned, and I don't particularly like having to wait for results, because it just interferes with your life, and it sort of peppers your life with dread, and you dread going, and then you dread waiting for the results, and then you get this high, and then, oh, I'm okay, and then, you know, I don't know whether this scanning business is particularly something I want to continue that regularly, if I can, but I don't know. I have to work that one out, I suppose. But once a year, I'd be happy with. But yeah, if it goes, that'd be great.
Yes. Well, when you have your next one, just drop me a line and let me know how you're getting on. And I'm sure we all wish you all the very best.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce Maya today, who's joining us from the United States. And Maya takes LDN for a very aggressive form of cancer. Would you like to explain to us exactly what it is you have, Maya?
Well, fortunately, I no longer have it.
Oh,
but
wow. Good.
In 2006, when I was 43, I was diagnosed with nasopharyngeal carcinoma, which is a rare aggressive head and neck cancer. And the treatment was surgery to remove the tumor that had grown inside my nasal cavity. And then immediately following that was concurrent chemotherapy and radiation. So the traditional form of treatment. And this cancer is normally an Asian male cancer, and it's normally caused by smoking. I have never smoked. I've never put anything in my nose. And I am very fair-skinned Caucasian. So the doctors determined that it was an environmental cancer. So in other words, I breathed something in at some point, and my immune system must have been weak and was unable to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
So the treatment for the nasopharyngeal carcinoma, the entire treatment lasted about a year, and I was a wreck at the end of it. And so I started to seek out alternative doctors. I had been going to an acupuncturist, which was helping, but during my treatment, when I was in radiation and in chemotherapy, I kept asking the doctors, what else can I do other than what they were doing, which was bringing me to the brink of death? I was trying to figure out, what could I do to boost my immune system? Or could I eat something? Could I change something that I was doing before when I got the cancer? I didn't want to keep doing the same thing I had been doing, because it didn't make sense to me that the cancer would be gone at the end unless I changed whatever it was I was doing that caused it.
Mm-hmm.
And during the treatment, the doctors were against my doing anything. They didn't want me to do acupuncture. They didn't want me to see an alternative doctor. They didn't want me to change my diet. They didn't even ask me to stop eating sugar, which feeds cancer. But this was a long time ago. This was in 2006. Things may have changed. But at the end, I started looking for a functional doctor, which is a doctor that looks at your body as a whole and tries to figure out what is going on with the body and not just write a prescription for a symptom. So I came across a doctor that's very well known in Northern Virginia. His name is John Hart, and he specializes in Lyme disease there. It's an area of our country that is very high in Lyme disease. And so he works with people who have weakened immune systems. So my husband and I went together to meet Dr. Hart, and he asked me if I had ever heard about low-dose naltrexone, and I had not, and nor had my husband. And he said, I want to put you on it, and I want to put your husband on it. I'm on it, and my entire family's on it, and if it were up to me, everybody would be on it. Well, that just sounds too good to be true. So I said, well, if you feel everybody's supposed to be on it, if it's that wonderful and it helps the immune system, then why isn't everybody on it? And he said, it's a very old drug. The patent has run out. There's no money to be made on this drug because it's cheap, and nobody's going to put the money and the time into it. And, it's unfortunate. So my husband and I decided to try it, and I remember when I very first filled the first prescription, I called out to California because I was getting it by mail order, and I thought I was, going to be telling them about this special drug that maybe they had never heard of, and I said, I have a prescription here for low-dose naltrexone. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. And she said, oh, low-dose? Oh, yeah, we're all on it. So then that started me down the path of, having a little bit more faith in it. And so I've been on it since 2007, and I don't know if it's the reason that my cancer has not reoccurred, but the reoccurrence rate of this cancer is pretty high, and knock on wood, I'm still healthy. And then the other experience I have with it, which was pretty dramatic, is that my German Shepherd got fissures, and it's something that a dog will get if their immune system is weak, and it's cracks and irritation around the anus is what it is. And I brought her in to see the vet, and he looked at it, and he said, oh, there's really no cure for this. I'll give you some oil, go buy some gloves, try to soothe her, and I'll see you in a couple weeks. So I go home and I start researching, can animals take low-dose naltrexone? And I see that there are people giving their animals low-dose naltrexone. So I start giving my dog my low-dose naltrexone. And by the time the 2 weeks were over that we were to meet back with her vet, it was completely healed. So he looks and he says, oh, my gosh, that emu oil I gave you must really work. And I said, yeah, I didn't use the emu oil. This is what I used. And I handed him the low-dose naltrexone, and I explained it to him, you know, just basically how I understand it works. And he was shocked. And then when I went back to see him later with her, he said he was prescribing it to his animal patients that had autoimmune issues and that he was taking it. And I've also had a case where my dermatologist, I've told her about it, she has an autoimmune issue, and the next time I saw her, she said, oh, my gosh, I got the low-dose naltrexone, and it's the first relief I've had in years. So we've had our own personal experiences, and then also being able to introduce people in the medical field who see for themselves that it works and use it themselves and prescribe it. So that's been my experience.
Well, how amazing is that? Wonderful to have an aggressive form of cancer and to be in complete remission since 2007?
Well, the treatment ended in December 2006, but I found Dr. Hart in 2007.
Okay.
Right away. Mm-hmm. I started looking right away into alternative options outside of just the regular, you know, medical doctors. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hart is a medical doctor. He's just performs functional medicine.
Yes.
So, and Lyme disease, I don't know if you probably are aware of Lyme disease.
Yes.
But it's a horrible disease, and they're having good luck, treating it with low-dose naltrexone here in the States. I don't know about anywhere else. And I read that book, Up a Creek with a Paddler, something mm-hmm. about how it was used for MS. And so, I try to share with people when I meet them, most everybody either has a problem or they know somebody that does.
Exactly. Well, keep up the good work, spreading the word. And
I do spread the word, and I'd be happy to share with you the doctors that I was telling you about.
I'd like that very much. Thank you.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.